Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning. Amen. Thankful for the time of worship and giving praise to our God this morning. I always want to take full advantage of that, and I want to encourage you, don't let Sunday morning be the only time the worshiper arises in you. Amen. I like that song, "Let the Worshipers Arise," because all through the Scripture, and I'm fixing to preach about it this morning, all through the Scripture, everything about the kingdom of God and the work of God has always took someone rising up to the occasion, someone moving with the directive of God. And that's what we're in pursuit of, fresh and anew in Calvary Lighthouse Church, is moving with the directive of God. I mean, God's needing laborers in this harvest in these last days, and I can't think of anybody else that could do a better job than you and me. Amen. You may not think you can, but my Bible tells me you can. My God tells me you can. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And He has called all of us to be witnesses for Him. And church, this is the time to shine. Hallelujah. If you've always just kind of been bashful and backwards, now's the time to cast that weight off. That's what it is. You know, you say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, change it. I mean, you know, if you go to the doctor and he tells you some, gives you a prescription and tells you to change some things, well, if you want to get better, what are you going to do? Well, you'll change it. But if you're going to be stubborn, you don't do anything, huh? I mean, you know, everybody's been to the doctor and got the doctor's orders and went home and didn't do them. Everybody's done that. You just chose to do what you wanted to do instead of what the doctor told you to do. Well, don't do that with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. When the Lord speaks directive to your heart, follow Him. Follow Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm chapter 61 is where we want to begin this morning. And verse number 5. Then I'm going to be going to 1 Peter chapter 5. And then I'm going to end up in John chapter number 1 for our opening scriptures here this morning. I want to preach on God's holy heritage. God's holy heritage. In Psalm 61 and verse number 5 says, "For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name." Now in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verses 2 through 4. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Amen. God's heritage. That's us. That's us. God's holy heritage. John chapter number 1, verses 12 through 13. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Hallelujah. Praise our God. You may be seated again this morning. Once again, God's holy heritage. The heritage of those that fear thy name. That's a key factor for a believer this morning. God's heritage. Feed the flock, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, not as being lords over God's heritage. See, I'm not the Lord over you, but ensamples, example to the flock. "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." God never called the pastor to make the flock do right. But he called the pastor to help the flock have great opportunity to do right. Because the flock belongs to him. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, my responsibility is to make sure you receive God's word according to your needs. Even though I don't know your needs many of the time. But God does. And so it's my responsibility to feed you the remedy for your circumstances, your situations, the things going on in your heart, in your mind, in your life, and not even having to know anything about it. Because he knows all about it. Hallelujah. And God's word is forever settled in heaven. We taught about that a little bit Thursday night. And it did not go forth void. In other words, the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word is always for some need that you and I might have. Hallelujah. And that's why, amen, we are in samples to the flock because pastors have needs too. Just like the flock does. And the Lord knows all about it. And many times the message is for me first. To encourage me first. To deal with me first. And then to be shed abroad for all those who can glean from the Word of God. Because it's God's holy heritage. It's God's plan of salvation. We are God's people. Amen. And God will take care of His own. Amen. But He does have processes that He uses to take care of you and I. Amen. Now, a heritage, just a simple definition thereof, is the most common definition, is property that is or can be inherited. And then it's something handed down from one's ancestors or the past as a characteristic. Listen to these definitions. As a characteristic, a culture, a tradition, the rights or burdens, or status resulting from being born in a certain time or a certain place, a birthright. God's holy heritage. What God has given to us because of that new birth. That's what John 1 and 12 is all about. It's talking about that born of God, of the Spirit, amen. And John chapter number 3, we can read about being born again. And he says, those that received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. And this is a twofold power. Number one, it's the right to become the sons of God. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the right to become the sons of God. And then another fold of it, or another understanding of it, is the power that then God gives us because we are His sons and daughters. Hallelujah. And so then we've mentioned it before that Christianity and God's plan of salvation is totally fail-proof when you follow. Can I say that again? When you follow the leader. Woo, hallelujah. I'm not talking about the pastor at this moment in time. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. It's fail-proof when I'll follow the leader. Hallelujah. When I'll take up that holy heritage of God and I'll take serious of who I am and what God has done for me, and I am part of God's heritage, and thus that brings great benefits to my life, and those benefits are so I can be an overcomer. Amen. So I can be a soldier for the Lord. So I can be a witness for my God. So I can be more than a conqueror. Wow. Hallelujah. Now in Psalm 34, 7 through 10, this is part of God's heritage. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Wow. That's God's holy heritage. That's what God promises to those who fear him. This is the key factor. This is what is missing in most of Christianity today. The fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. What is that? Does that mean you're so scared you go hide in a room somewhere afraid God might come and be with you? No. The opposite, really. It's such a reverence for God and a seriousness about who He is that you want to be in His presence. Because you know that is your only hope, that is your only source of strength, that is the only way you will be that overcomer, hallelujah, and you will be able to reap and have part of God's heritage. You'll find this is mentioned many times in the Bible, but I'm not going to mention all of them here this morning, but we see here that the promise of the Lord, amen, is that the angels will encamp around about us. I don't know about you, but I'd just soon have an angel encamped around me. You know, I love brothers and sisters, but an angel can do far more than they can. Hallelujah. I've seen an angel in action. I didn't see the angel, but I saw the action. I've seen that before. Matter of fact, I experienced it just the other day. Matter of fact, it was just on Friday. We were setting another building for my mother-in-law. Don't be astounded. It is another one. Amen. Praise God. And don't be surprised if it's not the last one. I just know how she is. But we're trying our best to make it the last one. The yard's filling up. Praise God. Amen. But we're out there setting that building, and I was helping the individual that brought the building, and he didn't happen. He had loaned out his jacks that he normally uses, so we were trying to teeter-totter it on blocks to get it back down to ground level after taking it off the wheels that helped move it. And we had done this several times, and I was over on one side, and I was reaching under, and I was going to pull out the block that we had used for the teeter-totter. And while I'm reaching under there, and of course my head's under the side of it, my arm's under there about 16 inches, and I'm pulling this block out, and I'm looking at the building, because I'm kind of like this, looking at the building, and all of a sudden I see the building moving. And I don't know how I did it, but within the snap of my fingers, I was standing 10 foot away after leaping, rolling, and standing on my feet. And I saw it coming, but I mean, I was over there. It was my body moving, you know, and I didn't think it moved like that anymore, but it did. It's amazing. But what was that? Well, I really believe that that was the hand of the Lord. That was one of them angels. God's not done with me yet. Hallelujah. And time for me to be smashed by a building on the ground there, especially at my mother-in-law's house. Hallelujah. No, she's got too much more work she wants me to do. Praise the Lord. So the Lord was merciful there, and I'm standing out 10 foot away, and the guy that had, he said, I've never had this happen before. And I said, well, that doesn't surprise me. You'd be surprised at the things ever since we've started trying to make this building move that have happened that have never happened before. Whew, and that's why I'm excited. And that's why I'm not astounded at anything that comes up that tries to stop it. And God just confirmed it to my heart again this morning. We're on the right track. We're going the right direction. Just keep on keeping on. Amen. It's God's holy heritage. Praise God. And so the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them. I believe in that. I've seen it too many times to doubt it. And what it is because those that fear Him, what does it fear Him? That means they want to serve Him. They want to know Him. They want to follow Him. Doesn't mean they're perfect people. It means their desire is to be perfect. And they are still working and allowing the Lord to perfect them. Praise God. And so it's just a reality of keep growing and keep moving with the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God as it becomes revealed unto us. That's a number one important part of the heritage of God, is to continue to grow. Never think you reach a place you have no room for growth. You always have room for growth. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we see then, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now stop and think about that. Does that just mean one time that I sought God, and then from that point forward, never have to worry about anything? You will find in God's kingdom There is never a one-time experience that fixes it all. Salvation, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, is just a experience to start my walk with God, my progression towards heaven. But from that point all the way to heaven, there are going to have to be decisions made, choices made. There's going to have to be things overcome. There's just going to have to be a walk with God in between. Hallelujah. As part of God's holy heritage. Amen. So to seek the Lord shall not want any good thing is a matter of attitude or mind frame. Hallelujah. That when things aren't really going like we think they should go, then where do we go? We go to the Lord, hallelujah, and we get in His presence, and we begin to ask of Him, Lord, show me the way here. Things are not going well. Seems like we're always struggling here or struggling there. We run up against a wall. Where do we go? Seek God. We seek the Lord. Amen, and He'll not withhold any good thing from us. What is the greatest thing God could give to you and I? Divine inspiration. Woo. What is that? His word coming to us in that time of trouble to show us the way of escape. Wow. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Now I realize some folks move quicker than other folks. Some folks move slow. That's okay. Long as you're moving. Amen. Some folks, I mean, they can move fast. They can walk fast. I mean, in days gone by, Sister Pepper and I were called the fastest walkers in the whole wide world. I mean, everywhere we went like we were going somewhere. You know, we thought exercise is good for us, and so we'd walk fast. We're moving a little slower nowadays for some reason. I don't know. Praise God. But anyway, some move fast, some move slow. But the key fact is that you're moving. You're moving. Amen. It's no different in growth in the kingdom of God. Some grow fast. I mean, some just pick it up, grab a hold of it. Others, they're pondering about it, thinking about it, not denying it, not rejecting it, but they just take longer to say yes. Amen. What we got to do and what we got to learn and what we got to work on is learning to say yes faster. Yes. How many's ever worked with your children to get them to say yes faster? I worked with mine. Took a long time for some. Amen. Woo. Learning to say yes when they're told to do something. Not say, they're, oh, I'm going to take out the trash. Oh, isn't it amazing? Woo, look out here. Isn't it amazing how much expression we can put into our negativities? Oh, help me this morning, Jesus. I've got to preach this message. Hallelujah. It's God's heritage. Isn't it amazing how much we whine and complain when God actually gives us divine inspiration? Not realizing at the moment that it is a miracle of God that He has spoken to us. Wow. Because we are part of God's holy heritage. And He will not leave us nor forsake us. Wow. That means He is totally involved in our spiritual growth continually. You see that? I mean, my children, and I mean, I'll never leave them or forsake them. I will be continually, until the day I leave this world, be involved in their growth. Giving them experience, sharing with them things of my experience. I just talked with my dad the other day, and he shared something about his military work I'd never heard before. I'm 57 years old, and I'd never heard that story about when he was in the army, in the military. See, there's probably a whole lot of things that I really don't know that he went through in his life of 89 years going on 90. And that's really, my children don't really know everything I've been through in my 57 years. They've been with me for 31, 32. And they remember a lot of things we've been through. But previous to that, they don't really know everything that I've overcome or what the Lord's done for me and the circumstances and situations. But that's part of my heritage. that I can share with them and share with my grandchildren of the great things God has done. And he's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's always been there. And he's not let me grow slow. Whoa. Hello. Praise God. Because I don't want to grow slow. I want to keep growing, and I want to know what he has to say for me in these last days. Right now. Right now. Not everything he did. I'll never forget everything he's done for me. It brings worship. It brings praise. But I want to know what he wants done right now. Hallelujah. Because I'm part of that godly, holy heritage. Hallelujah. That means he is continually working in my life because we will continually seek the Lord because we don't want to lack any good thing. Amen. We want everything God has got for us. Wow. Now there's something to grab a hold of, young people. Getting that desire to want everything God has for you. Woo, don't try to sell God short and get by on less than what God wants to supply. A lot of times, even as adults, we get this mentality, well, I'm doing okay. I'm doing better than most people I know. Evidently, you don't know yourself too well. Woo. Because if you're comparing yourself to other people, you've made the greatest mistake in the whole wide world any Christian could make. Because the only person we need to be comparing ourselves to is a man called Jesus. And when we start comparing ourselves to him, we realize, ooh, I am coming up short. I am coming up short, and oh, how I need Jesus moving fresh and anew in my life. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, these are promises to the heritage of the Lord. Amen. Isaiah 43:1 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Hallelujah. Glory. I mean, he said this for Jacob. He said this for Israel. But you realize these are the same promises because we are now God's holy heritage also. And these promises that God has given unto his children, hallelujah, are the same promises for us. For he's redeemed me by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I belong to him. And he has called me by my name. Hallelujah. And he knows me on a personal plane. Glory to God. And it's no different for anyone else. He is no respecter of persons. He knows you by name also. Hallelujah. Got to move in. Got to draw closer. Got to realize these are promises to those who fear the Lord, who honor him. Oh, praise our God. This is what so many forget as time rolls on. You know, I do not doubt conversion experiences for individuals. Do not doubt someone if they tell me they have been saved. But my question always to those that say, oh yeah, I'm saved. Okay, well, how are you serving the Lord right now? Well, you know, years ago, God saved me, and oh, it was glorious. I remember when he come down to wash my sins away. That's great. What are you doing today? Most people do not have an answer for that question on an up-to-date relationship with Jesus Christ. They just point back to a day, one day. Well, that's not enough days, because there should be something to point back to from that point all the way up to this point. It should always have full pages. Woo, praise God, as we walk with our God. Amen. And so we see then, I mean, look at these promises, and I'm not going to tarry here long, but I mean, they cover everything that the children of Israel were going to go through and encounter. Mm-hmm. Well, that lets me know as a child of God and part of God's holy heritage that no matter what I encounter, God's going to go with me. He's going to be there for me. He will direct my paths. Why? Because I will acknowledge him
in all my ways. Hallelujah. I will be sensitive to what he has to say about the way that I'm traveling and the way that I'm living. Hallelujah. And I will allow him to direct my paths. You know, a lot of times people just think this for a certain prayer to God, that he'll direct me in this prayer. No, no. He's talking about every day of your life. Acknowledging him today, tomorrow, if tomorrow comes. But you see, what we have to deal with severely is today. Today. Today's what we got to deal with. Amen. And I want to acknowledge him today. What is that? That's just like this morning, entering right into his presence. What is that? Acknowledging him. Well, he's already promised where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm right there. And so I have to acknowledge that he's here, and I have to operate and act like, not act, I don't really want to use that word, I've got to respond like I believe he's here. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. For he is here, and he is our helper, and he is our strength. Amen. He's our Savior. The songs that were sung this morning so depicted of who our God is to us. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. In other words, wow. See, our righteousness only comes as we give ourselves into his hand. Submit thyself unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. See, that's what it's all about. Now, here's something interesting, and don't be offended. But yet, listen to the reality, and this is even from days gone by. Peter Marshall, in his characteristically trenchant manner, describes 20th century Christians in these words. And I realize we're in the 21st century, but yet what he describes we see quite often. Christians of this day and this hour, I'll put it like that, they are like deep sea divers, encased in suits designed for many fathoms deep. How many's ever seen a deep sea diver? How about you children? Anybody ever seen a deep sea diver in the suit that they wear to go deep, deep, deep into the ocean? I know Titus probably has in different books and things. I mean, they put on a very heavy-duty apparatus, and it has oxygen hoses going to it, and it has weights upon it so that they can go down deep, 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 you know, into the ocean to survey what's down there. And so he says, okay, the Christians of this day are like this. They've got on the armor. They've got on this deep sea diving equipment. They are equipped to the hilt. I'm just kind of embellishing it here. And they march bravely forth to pull the plugs out of bathtubs. Yeah, that's exactly it. We've got power above anything this world knows, and we can't even overcome foolish things. Mm-hmm. We've got a heritage from our God of power, hallelujah, to overcome all obstacles and all things, hallelujah, and we can't even pull a plug out of a bathtub. Woo! Now, I'm not being harsh and I'm not being critical, but we've got to realize what we have, as the heritage of our God and this salvation that he has provided. That's why it's fail-proof, because he's provided all the equipment that I'm going to need to go to the depths of the sea if I need to go there, hallelujah, to do anything that needs to be done on the face of this earth. We have the power from above to accomplish it in this body. Whew, hallelujah. Oh, God of heaven, this is God's holy heritage. This is what God is providing for those who will rise to that place of faith. So you got to believe this. I mean, you got to believe God's word is true. This is God's word. This is God's heritage. Go read the book of Acts again. That's what God wants to do for you. That's what God wants to do for me. That's what God wants to do with me. That's what God wants to do with you. Amen.
But I've got to become more serious about what I give to God. This is where it's really at. Most folks don't want to give themselves wholly to God. I understand. I've been there. I've done that. Every time God wanted me to do something I'd never done before, I didn't want to give myself to God. I didn't want to surrender to it. I just, in my mind, I could not wrap my mind around it. Well, quit trying to wrap your mind around it and give your spirit, soul, and heart to Him, and then your mind will be renewed. Hallelujah. And you won't care whether you can do it or not. You just know you're doing the right thing. Woo! Hallelujah. Pray we need more men and women who will walk with God by faith. What does that mean? That means you don't fully understand it. You can't wrap your mind around it, but you know it's God that's talking to you. You know it's God's word that's coming your way. Hallelujah. And you move out with that divine inspiration of God. Hallelujah. And then you'll see. Then you'll understand. That's called faith. That's what faith is all about. Hallelujah. Go read it. Go read the Gospels. Everybody's faith was always displayed by their actions before they received their miracle. Oh, yeah. Different times. When they tell the blind man, go wash your eyes at the pool of Siloam. Anybody ever study that out? How far away was that for a blind man? I mean, he had to do whatever it took to get there, and then he had to do it. How many of us would have done it? It's just a question. I'm not saying you would or you wouldn't. I know myself. I'd question. I'd probably argued with God. I would have said, well, why can't you do it right here, right now? That's how we are in America today. I mean, we just want everything easy and right here and right now. We want God to supply all of our needs according to His riches and His grace and His mercy. And we don't want to raise a finger. We just want God to do it all. I'm sorry, church. God don't work that way. If you ain't doing your part, He ain't going to do His either. Woo! That's His promise. Woo! Grab a hold of that promise. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, that's a hard promise. But not really. All you have to do is do what He asks. All you have to do is follow. All you have to do is submit. All you have to do is say yes unto the Lord and exercise your faith and do what He's told you to do. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I mean, I got to move on, but it's just rolling here this morning in my heart and in my soul. Peter got himself in trouble. Anybody in here ever got yourself in trouble? Yeah, I said that wrong thing you shouldn't have said, did the wrong thing you shouldn't have do, you know, maybe spent the money you shouldn't have spent, and now you're short. Oh, that's kind of what Peter did. He said, oh, yeah, we pay taxes, and he ain't got two nickels rubbed together in his pocket. Oh, yeah. Whoa, old Peter, always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, and wow, and having to go back and make it right. That's okay. It happens. I've been there. I've had to do it multiple times. How many's heard the terminology eat crow? That's where you thought you were right and you stood strong and you found out just not moments later, ooh, that wasn't right and you had the wrong thought on it. Oh, no, you misunderstood. Oh. And so you go back and make it right. That's what's called by eating crow. I don't really know where that came from. I hope it wasn't a bad thing, but I mean, whoa. So Peter didn't have it right. So did Jesus just, here you go, Peter. Snap his finger, have money in his hands, and here you go, Peter. He could have. Oh, yeah, he could have. No, what did he do? All right, Peter, go fishing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I don't know where they were at. I'd have to go study it out. I could probably find out, but I didn't. This is just the reality of Peter has to go either get a net. I don't know if they did fishing poles back then or not. Or just a string, and he had to go fishing. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he had to go fishing. Woo! Wow. He just had to go. He really didn't know what he was doing fishing. Jesus never told him there's going to be a fish with money in its mouth. He just told him to go fishing. He thought, well, maybe this is punishment for the foolishness that I did. You know, I've got to go down here and stand and look like a dummy. I mean, what am I fishing for? Fish, of course, yes, but how's that going to help me with the money? Oh, isn't that us? I mean, isn't that us? You know, how's that going to help? How's that going to work? That seems totally foolish. Well, it was. It was a foolish thing that Peter did. Hello? Oh, hello. With what meat you sow? I mean, come on, church. The Word of God lets us know however we act, that's kind of what we're going to get back. And God, he loves us so much. I mean, you know, if we act foolish, then he's going to tell us to do something foolish to make it right. Oh, we didn't have a problem acting foolish when it was our idea. Woo, come on now. But then when God says do something and to us it's foolish, it's not our idea. And then, we argue with God. What good's that going to do? How's that going to help? Anybody ever said those words besides me? Hello? Because it was our foolishness that got us in the problem. Then it's foolishness God uses to get us out. So Peter's down here fishing. However he's fishing, either throwing a net. What do you think of the rest of the disciples were doing? They're standing up a ways away because they know Peter. Ain't going to go down there and harass him. He'll thump us. Whoa, hello. They know Peter. So they're watching afar off. They're hitting each other. Look at Peter. What's he doing? I mean, the Lord told him something, but I have no idea what he's doing down there. And he ain't catching anything. And he really don't look too happy. Woo. Are you getting the picture here? Peter had to go be humiliated. But then when the fish was caught and he pulled it up, most people when they grab a fish, what do they grab them by? Grab them by the lip. That's what I grab them by, unless they have big sharp teeth. Most of them don't that I fish for. So you pick it up by the lip and look right there. You know, can you picture this in your mind? He reaches down, picks this fish up, brings it right here, and what's in it? The money for him and Jesus. Wow. You see, a lot of times we want God to meet a need, and we ain't willing to raise a finger to do anything to help that need to be met. Come on. We have allowed the spirit of the age to infiltrate our mind. To think we can have something for nothing. Nowhere in God's word does he ever promote the principle, something for nothing. You see, your salvation and your forgiveness is free to you. But we forget so quickly who it cost that we could have it. Woo! See, it's never something for nothing. There was a debt that needed paid. There was a sin that needed dealt with. And Jesus Christ volunteered to pay that debt. Hallelujah. And deal with that sin. Hallelujah. You see, so it wasn't really free. It cost him his life. Wow. His precious blood. And so we see then part of God's holy heritage is the transformation and the renewing of the mind to realize that everything, every good gift that comes from God must be laid a hold of. Hallelujah. It doesn't just come down and hit me on the head, so to speak, and show up. No. I must reach. I must ask. I must seek. I must knock. Woo, hallelujah. Sometimes I just got to get up off my duff and do something. Hello. Did you realize that worship takes effort? You see, I'm sorry, and maybe it's already been said before, but we have a terrible tendency in these last days, and it's part of the spirit of the world, laziness. I can't really say that I'm from the old school. I don't want to say I'm from the old school. But yet, at the same time, I was raised in a time and in a place where if there was work to be done, you did the work. And really, on the farm I was raised on, the work was never done. And it's still not today. There's always something more to do. Now, I'm really thankful that I was raised on the farm where I was raised, because in the ministry it's very beneficial. Because there's always something more to do. You never kick back and said, all right, I've got ministry. No. Ministry is always, there's always more to do. There's always work to be done. There's always someone to be talked to. There's always someone to be prayed for. There's always someone to help. There's always work to be done. There's always building already. You know, sometimes there's buildings that need purchased. And then there's buildings that's going to mean remodeled. There we go. Praise God. And there's always work to be done. Never look to get out of work. Always be looking for what part you have in the work. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Not everybody can be the pastor. You probably wouldn't want to be the pastor. Woo. There's a lot of things that I have learned to deal with and work with, and because I began ministry and I began pastoring and I began pioneering and school, and I mean, just wow. I don't know how many hats I have to wear. Most of the time I just leave them off because I don't know which one to put on next. Hello. Praise God. God's holy heritage is a heritage of working for the King. Hallelujah. Everything else that we do in this world is really not as important as working for the King. I've said it. It was told unto me. The call to the ministry is far more important than being the president of the United States of America. Why? Because God's looking for laborers in the harvest. And that's far more important than being the president of the United States of America. I don't really want to be president. I don't have no desire to be president. No desire at all. But if God wanted me to run for the presidency of the United States of America, you know what I'd do? I'd run. Woo. I got to be careful, because the last time I said, God, unless you move like this and like this and like this, I'd never do this. And he did just that. I got to be careful. Amen. That's just, I told you, whatever you do towards God, that's how he's going to come back to you. I believe that 100%. He's done it more than once. Amen. You see, because God realizes sometimes we are foolish and we don't realize the heritage that we have. And that is why he is long-suffering with us, and he is patient with us. Amen. And I'm going to try to shut this down and close this. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, what part about all do we not understand? What do you need help with? Doesn't it fall under the category of all? All things. Woo, hallelujah. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Wow. You can go back and read Romans chapter 8. Just for the sake of time, I wasn't going to read the whole chapter, but that's where he's talking about all the things that come against us. And then this is when he makes that statement, but in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Not by ourselves, but through Christ, through Jesus. Amen. So who are these promises to, and who is he talking about? Well, you'll find it back in Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is that? Oh, that's that individual that fears the Lord, that he would rather do what God would have him to do than what he would do any day of his life. Oh, wow. Woo. Wow. Wow. I mean, you mean that's
That's the one that's more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and 28, we quote it multitudes of times when things are going wrong. But that's not what this is actually for. Hallelujah. This is actually for things that are going right. Amen. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Wow. What is that? That's that individual that fears the Lord. That's that individual that's not walking in the flesh. He's walking after the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. He's wanting God's word on everything that he or she does. Hallelujah. And when that happens, if things are not going well, then yes, it will eventually work to your good. There are times of testing. There are trials that come. Sister Lindsay, I wish vehicles always ran right and always ran good for a whole time we owned them. But I've had too many that don't. I've had too many I've been upside down in. And not because it turned over. Hello. Praise God. But you see, all these promises are to God's holy heritage. Those individuals who want to be holy like God's holy. Your key to holiness, and of course it's commanded us from the Word of God in 1 Peter 1 and 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. The key to holiness is that continual communion with Jesus Christ. That continual being in the presence of my King, the presence of my God. Because it will keep my mind clear. And think in the right direction. Now you stop and think about it just for a moment here this morning. That if you go for a while without reading God's word. Without praying to the place where you enter into God's presence. I'm not talking about prayer. Because you'll find that hundreds of thousands of people pray. Prayer sometimes is not really what it definition of prayer really is. Because prayer is to communicate personally with God to the point you're hearing from God. That's what prayer is about. Not just uttering up a need or not just uttering up how great God is, but hearing what God has to say. That's what prayer is all about. Moving in. How many's ever heard the terminology praying through? Any of you children know what that means? Praying through. Because it's just a terminology we Pentecostals use. What it means is you pray until God starts touching you and talking to you. And it's not you who's making decisions now. It's God showing you the way. That's called praying through. That means denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. That's what praying through is all about. A lot of times we pray, but we don't pray through. It also means that I have come to the place where I'm ready to say no to me and yes to my God. Most of our struggles and most of our troubles come from me. No, not your pastor, but yourself. Yourself. Where you start deciding what you'll do instead of letting God's word and God's spirit decide what you're going to do. So you got to go get prayed through to where you begin to listen to God more than you listen to yourself. Amen. That's how you're going to be holy. That's how you're going to keep on the straight and narrow way. I'm going to close with this as someone's coming to the piano. 2 Peter 3, 9 through 14. The Lord is not slack. Praise our God. The Lord is not slack. Anybody in here ever been a slacker? We all have. We've all been a slacker from time to time. We all have come to that place where we knew what we needed to do, but we just didn't feel like doing it. Well, that's a slacker. And that's just. But the Lord, praise our God, is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not just sinners. A lot of times we think, oh, God's only long-suffering to the sinners. No, He's long-suffering to us when we won't get rid of those things He's talking to us about. Long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. He's still talking about us. But that all should come to repentance, and He's still talking about us.
Amen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now he's talking about judgment. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation in God? He's still talking about us. See, this is how I know he's talking about us. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, still he's talking to us, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. He's talking about us. God's holy heritage. Those men and those women who take God's word as the final authority for their lives, that fear the Lord, honor him, reverence him, know that his way is always the best way. Hallelujah. And we strive to walk therein. God's holy heritage. Let's stand.